CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back. I'm with Ebenezer Asante, CEO of MTN Ghana. He's led in other countries as well. And he spent the first half hour with us giving us a master lesson on authentic leadership, in fact. And it's a wonderful podcast if you want to download. So we're going to expand a little bit more, look at him, his career, what he's learned in life, and bring it back to his leadership challenge, the current one, which is MTN Ghana. Ebenezer, give us an overview of your career. Have you been in telco for most of your career? And just to 1 minute.
I've been in telco since 2008. Before then, I did something that had no bearing or relationship with telco. I'm originally an FMCG man. So I started my career with Unilever in Ghana, and that's where I started my managerial grooming. I worked in India. I worked in Zambia as the MD of Unilever Zambia. Came back to Ghana to serve on the board, and also was the customer director for Ghana before I joined MTN. So for a good part of my career, I was basically selling laundry and food before I jumped into ICT industry.
So how did you jump into it? How did that happen?
It took almost 6 months to take the decision when the headhunter contacted me. First, I did not see the linkage between FMCG and ICT or telecom. But as the engagement continued and I started opening my mind to the world of ICT and projecting into the future, I realized that the future was all around ICT. And that was the time that the whole ICT evolution was just beginning in Ghana around 2007, 2008. So I told myself, if there is any time to get in there to learn, whilst it was still cooking, maybe that was the right time. And I was also very clear that with the right managerial skill set, with the right leadership, I believed that you could be in any industry and you'll still be able to apply yourself. You do not need to be an industry expert, but what is most important is your ability to galvanize resources, to galvanize talents for greater achievement. So on that basis, I was able to give a nod. I joined MTN on 1st of January 2008, and so far, it's been very good. I've enjoyed my time in MTN. I served as a sales and distribution executive, or reorganized the sales and distribution structure and organization, create an entirely new team, both for the consumer and enterprise side of the business, and most importantly, putting some FMCG ways of doing things as far as distribution and customer engagement and customer services are concerned. I did that for almost 5 to 6 years and then got promoted to go and run MTN Rwanda. And I did that also for 19 months and went back to Ghana as a CEO. And that's what I've been doing since July 2015.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Rwanda experience was very interesting.
Very, very
in and
interesting.
Of itself. And that's very, a country that's changed
very,
so
very
much.
Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Rwanda, again, taught me a great deal of lessons, looking at where they are coming from and what they have been able to attain and the power of leadership, what they have achieved in the short period of time. Rwanda also taught me the second lesson, just to reconfirm what history has also taught all of us, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can break the front of determined people. And I see that happening every single day. The third lesson that I got from Rwanda is also the fact that indeed leadership casts their shadows and leadership affects culture, such that you can speak to the very senior person in government and they have a clear understanding of where the country is going, in the same way you can speak to also a district chief executive in charge of a small area, also having a clear understanding of where his district is going. Is able to break it down all the way to the granular KPIs that they want to achieve. And for me, that story is fantastic. My only prayer is that they are able to sustain it in the years ahead, in the generations ahead.
Now you're leading in Ghana as the CEO of MTN there. Is MTN the largest mobile operator in Ghana?
MTN is the largest mobile operator in Ghana. MTN is also the largest consumer goods company in Ghana across all industries. We are the biggest entity in the country.
And what challenges have you faced there since you took over? What was the situation then and what is it now?
Well, I must count myself lucky because I worked in MTN between the 2008 and 2013 for 5 years. So I must say that I got to know the people. I got to interact very well with the people. The people knew what I was made of, my strengths and weaknesses. So when I came back, I did not have anything new to prove to them. When I came back, it was only an opportunity to build on what I left behind, but from this time onwards at the CEO level, not at the divisional level. So that I must count myself very lucky. The whole organization was also going through a phase of change, a change towards digital orientation, not only for what we serve our customers with, but also how we transform our own internal operating system. And that is the course that I've been leading since the period, getting everybody on board to understand how the environment is changing, how the change is going to impact on them individually, and what are some of the skills, values, and cultures they need to embrace to be able to be part of that change. So far, that's what we've been doing, but I must say that the results have also been very phenomenal, so it is another catalyst to reinforce what we are doing, and the whole team is heading in the right direction with me.
You're a standout leader on the African continent in many respects, and I'm wondering what are the different nuances when you lead in Ghana versus the Congo or Rwanda, and of course then we've had the whole Nigeria experience with MTN. Every culture is different. What has that taught you?
It teaches a lot. It teaches a lot because when I went to Zambia, I remember those days in 2003, 2005, and then also in Rwanda, the first 1.5 years or so, one of the areas that I spent more and more time on is to understand their people, is to understand their culture, is to understand their persuasion, is to understand where they are coming from, is to understand their fears. For instance, in Rwanda, one of the biggest lessons that I picked out of that environment is that because of their very past, trust is not an easy commodity to put on the table. And that impacts and apply in all phases of life, including you, the leader. And because of that, I also told myself that it's an area I need to apply a bit more effort on, so that in the end, with the consistency of engagement, transparency of information, and walking the talk, I could get the team to really trust and really know that I meant well. It took some time, but I'm sure at the time I was leaving, that was actually achieved. And once that came on board, we were able to pull together to turn the business around. Now gotten the team to face more to the market, not be internally driven, but externally driven, to also know the essence of why we're all there, to serve the interest and the cause of the customer, etc., etc., etc. And consistently, once they came on board, once the trust came up, once the team was highly motivated and influenced in a positive way, and it trickled down their ladder, we saw the business picking traction. So for me, any organization, any business, anything that we talk about, if we really want to influence change positively to get some sustained results, the issue is not how to grow. The issue is how to build the people. If you get your people side right, if you get the cultural side right, people are capable of turning any situation around. After all, you, the leader, you are just one.
It can be challenging, though, if you're only there for 2 years, let's say, or 3 years. So one must really be clear about your model and your approach, and be confident about your ability, I guess, as a leader. Your models must be clear in your mind. These principles you shared with us in the master's.
Very, very clear. And I spend more time on the field with the team more than the office. Again, I wanted to send a clear signal that for me, the prime purpose of our growth is going to be the customer. And if it's going to be the customer, then we must bring the customer dialogue into the boardroom. And I cannot be sitting in the boardroom and issuing executive fiat, and the team is out there alone engaging the customer. So once the CEO steps into the field, being more present in the regions, being more present in the branches, serving the customer directly, interacting with the customers and bringing their feedback into the organization to improve the way we do things, over time, it casts that shadow on the rest of the executives. They also started spending more time in the regions. They started owning and championing some of the regions. So you can have a chief finance officer also be in charge of the northern segment of Rwanda, for instance. That role has nothing to do with what she did or what she was recruited for. She was recruited to come and take care of the company's finance. But I made them aware that at the level where you are as executives, your responsibility goes beyond the management role that has been assigned to you. Unless you do not want to grow. Mm. Unless you do not want to advance in your career. And they bought into it and collectively were able to do it. So it was not just me alone being a superman all over the country, but I got the collective team also backing it to champion it. And within a period of 12 to 15 months, we saw rapid change. Organization that has been going down in market share, organization that has been going down in margins, organization that has been going down even on the paper score, were able to turn it around at the time I was leaving. And I'm very grateful for that.
What do you enjoy? You seem to really enjoy what you do. I sense it when I meet you. You're a man at peace. You have passion. You have energy. What is it that you enjoy most about being the CEO of MTN Ghana? It can be many things, because you meet interesting people, no doubt. It's the biggest telco company. You meet high-profile people, business, politicians. The state is in one's community. There can be a lot of things that one likes about being the CEO. But if you had to really find the essence, what is it that you love most?
The biggest thing I love is when my product or service impact life. And I remember somewhere in the remotest part of Rwanda when I interacted with some secondary school students. After the end of my presentation, the head boy raised his hand and said, "I have a comment." "So, come forward." He said, "Sir, I just want to thank MTN." "Thank MTN, this remote area," said, "Yes. Go ahead. I want to thank MTN for saving my life." "MTN for saving your life?" So my mind went to MTN Foundation. Maybe we've built a clinic there. Maybe we've sponsored. He said, no. I felt ill and there was no money. My mom sent mobile money to one of the teachers to take me to Kigali for treatment. But without that, I could have died.
Sure.
So mobile money, very simple service that we take for granted, somebody believes saved his life. For me, that is what makes my day as a leader. Not all the trappings of leadership, not necessarily. But when the service, when the product impact on people within the organization or outside of the organization, I know my job has been done.
Now that's powerful. So that's part of the cause. It's not just to, just to give jobs that impacts people's lives. That's important. Yeah. It's not just to make money for the shareholders. Yeah. That's important because then the economy grows, more taxes paid.
And,
but does it actually impact a human being's life? And that's a wonderful way to look at your job. I'm interested in where MTN is going, Ghana. Of course, in general, this industry is going into content, digital, but just give us a bit of a feel of the absolute focus at MTN and what are you driving day to day, your team?
The business I took over had about 65% concentration on voice. the industry indicators were all very clear. That voice was going nowhere. Margins will continue to drop. Price pressure will continue to come, because in Ghana you have all the multinational operators there. Millicom is there, Vodafone is there, Glo is there. So all the big powers are also in Ghana.
Mm.
And pressure on tariff will continue. So it was only a matter of time to see our voice business decimate if we did not do anything about it. So the clear strategy was, how do we diversify our portfolio? Diversify our portfolio to be the leading digital service provider for consumer, for enterprise, and for government. And on that basis, we decided that we will shift the shape of the business from 65 voice to 35% voice, and then 65% going through data, digital, and mobile financial services. To be able to do such a transformation, you must have a clear strategy behind that.
Mm.
So first is to test and make sure your whole team is on board. And most importantly is to gauge the extent to which the front line are motivated and inspired to see to this transformation. Once you finish the strategy, is one big hurdle out of the way, but it's less than 20% of the job. If the strategy does not translate into the everyday work of people, for people at all levels to understand the role they have to play, how their own roles must change from the past into the future, and every single day making the effort to lead that change, the strategy will remain on paper. So a lot of mobilization, a lot of people engagement, a lot of workshop, a lot of dramatization of where we wanted to be, taking input from people, letting them recreate their own organization, their own small units, etc., etc. It took almost 6 to 9 months, and we realized that the organization was now ready to shoot. And since that time, that's what we've been doing. At the end of 2016, we have managed to reduce the voice concentration from 65, now it's 48%.
So it's on the right track.
And it's on the right track, so we'll hit the 35%. So with that ambition, you also go to the people and ask them, for us to be able to achieve this, let's understand what is in it for you. Let's understand what is in it for you beyond the economics, but what it will mean for your customers, and as I said, what will give you your self, pride, fulfillment, and satisfaction. So once we also got that side right, then it's like you have built an engine of execution. It keeps going on its own. It's unstoppable. It's focused on the customer. And the customer's need continue to increase. The customer's demand continue to increase. And they can only respond to the increasing, growing demands of the customer.
Mm.
And I'm happy to say that today, that is the position MTN Ghana is. So no wonder we have been recognized as the number one opco within the MTN group. And no wonder that Africancom also recognizes us as the number one within Africa. So a lot is happening, but it's not happening by me. It's happening through me, but by the people.
By the people, your people. How many people work for MTN in Ghana?
The permanent employees is about 1,000. but we also have a lot of third party and contract employees. We have a lot of partners and their own employees working for us. If you include that in the ecosystem, totally, people who get their pay through MTN directly or indirectly is about 5,000.
All right.
Yes.
Your relationship with the legislators and so on, we've had this whole Nigeria ordeal, which the whole MTN group would have learned a heck of a lot from. Your relationship in that country?
Again, the fundamental mistake that anybody, any leader can make is to take relationship at a facial, transactional level. Fortunately, I'm a man of death, so everything I try to ask myself, what is the essence of what I'm doing? So if it's a relationship, what is the essence of the relationship I must have with the regulator? And today we have multiple of them with the government. And I came to the conclusion that MTN must facilitate economic development. And we must facilitate economic development not just because of what we say, not just because of our tax contribution, not just because we employ people to reduce the burden on government, but we must be trusted and be believed that indeed we facilitate economic development. So when I go to government and say, I have spent time in Rwanda. I worked with the Rwanda government and the Rwanda regulators to the extent that they trusted in me. And for the first time when I was leaving Rwanda, it is the regulator who organized the first farewell for me. You don't get that happening because I was there to also support their cause, their development, contributing meaningfully to what they can also do to build and expand the ICT vision and the ICT frontiers for the country. So now that I've come back as a Ghanaian, it's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah, let me do it. Yeah.
Let me do it. Mm. I am there for you. Take me as a resource. I will contribute in any way possible, not just for MTN, but also for this country. And once you begin that, and you also back your words with action consistently, you are trusted, you build relationship, and fortunately, you are even able to be present when policy is being formulated. So you don't wait for the policy to come before you start influencing it. Even right from the onset, they know your views about the policy. So that is what for me is most important with the engagement. We need deeper engagement, trusted engagement, and engagement that is enduring. It's not just a one-off. Yeah, regulator seeing your face only when there is a problem. Regulator seeing your face only when you are there to ask for help. No, 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 no. I am there when they have pains. I am there when they are enjoying. I am there when they are even formulating their vision and strategy. And I'm there to contribute my quota, not as MTNer, but how MTN can also facilitate economic development.
Ebenezer Asante with me, CEO of MTN Ghana. Ebenezer, towards the end of the show, I'm just fascinated by what do you think taught you about leadership and life most? Have you had any tough experiences in life? Health, financial, I don't know. What has made you the person you are? In essence, just keep it short this one, but what has made you who you are?
In essence, I think my father played a role. And my father, because I saw him delivering the relevant areas of leadership in customer experience, but also in the ethics of business. Mm. My father was a trader selling fabrics and textile products, curtain materials. Mm. And I remember at a very teen age, my father telling off a public servant that he was not going to change the invoice unduly. Mm. Making it very clear to the public servant that he will not be part of any deal. And he is free to buy from him or go elsewhere. That taught me one lesson, that you must be ready to sacrifice for your values. In an environment where bribery and corruption was the norm, having this man even refusing business because he was not willing and ready to cut corners really inspired me, and I respect him for that.
Thank you so much. Ebenezer Asante, the CEO of MTN Ghana. What a privilege to sit with you, and I'm so grateful that people referred me to you, that you made time for us here in your hotel room to engage you on leadership and authentic leadership. We look forward to engaging you on more, and thank you for being a great leader on the African continent. All the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Stay tuned for the Business Masterclass, and thank you for joining us today. Do join us again next week, every Monday, 12 to 1, Leadership Masterclass. Cheers, everyone. CliffCentral.com.